Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. The Cobourg Police Service launched a Safer Streets program. At the same time, the Ontario government passed Bill 6, the Safer Municipalities Act. It is meant to give additional powers to local government to deal with people living rough. On today's show, Cobourg Police Chief Paul Vandegraaff will explain how the new Safer Street program and Bill 6 are related. He will also lay out what is being done to address ongoing concerns with people living rough, public illegal drug use, trespassing, and other issues. As well, he will talk about the impact of this on property taxes. Finally, the chief will react to an open letter from the mayor regarding a private meeting the two held recently. I'm so pleased to have with me today Cobourg Police Chief Paul Vandegraaff. Welcome back to Consider This Northumberland.
Thanks for having me once again, Robert.
Let's begin with this. Can you tell us what the Safer Street Cobourg program is?
Yeah, very simply, it is a reconstitution of a different program that we've had offered over the last few years. And what this really is that we're going to strengthen our proactive approach to tackling open air drug use, trespassing, addressing the high volume calls that exist in certain areas, just to move the pendulum along the same path that the province is going.
So the rationale for this is, you say it in your press release, to address community safety concerns and the increase in high-frequency calls for service. Yet this is the mandate given to municipalities as part of Bill 6, the Safer Municipalities Act. Why didn't you just say that right from the beginning, that this is just you fulfilling your mandate for Bill 6?
Well, the interesting thing is that the Bill 6 proceeded through Queen's Park with great haste, and there's great reasons for that, is that municipalities across Ontario are all facing the same problems. And what's important to note, that although we've got royal assent back in early June, there are no associated regulations, there are no associated set fines, there are no processes in place yet. And I mean yet, I'm sure the Solicitor General's office will get those out to us. And they can take up to months sometimes after a new act receives royal assent. So we wanted to be ahead of it because there was a fair amount of communication and talk in our town about a desire to move this way. So we looked at other opportunities. So a concurrent opportunity was the federal Crown Attorney, who's responsible to prosecute drug-related offenses, also lifted their moratorium on simple possession charges. So as I've said many times before, the federal government said, please don't lay the simple possession charge unless there are these other things in place. Well, they've changed that mantra. So based on the federal act, we're asking our officers to continue their approach and making those types of arrests.
In Bill 6, it says a police officer or a prescribed provincial offenses officer may tell someone to stop consuming illegal substances in a public place. Now, the officer may direct the person to leave that public space. The individual may be asked to give their full name, their date of birth, and an address. Now, the officer may remove and destroy the substance, or it can be submitted for analysis. Can you describe how you have instructed your officers to enforce this aspect of the bill?
Yeah, so for us, it's continued focusing on the illegal drug trafficking, drug use in our communities. So what we've instructed our officers is, the officers have a series of obligations, but they also have a series of rights under a multitude of different acts, be it federal or provincial or municipal acts, be it a nuisance bylaws. So what we've instructed our officers very simply to do is when they find somebody in an open space using drugs is to do what they do best, which is engage with the person and ensure that they understand that they're not to be doing this. If there's visible presence of a controlled substance, to execute any authority they already have. It could be trespassing. It could be a criminal event. Maybe they're breaching a curfew or breaching a probation order of some sorts. So, and if they're just simply using, that is now an arrestable authority, is possession of a drug. Conduct a search as per common law and case law and lay appropriate charges. Our team had already been doing that. They've been laying simple possession charges when it was in conjunction with another offense. Now what we're looking at is comparing that now to, say, trespassing. So that goes right hand in hand with our trespass authority agent program. So it's giving our people some more legal authorities to act on behalf.
Okay, before we get into the trespassing aspect of this, because I do want to come back to it, I want to understand better, though, what it is when we talk about reasonable grounds to take an action in this case.
Reasonable grounds is defined in case law, it's defined in common law, and reasonable grounds are the set of facts and circumstances that would lead a reasonable person to draw a certain conclusion. And that's almost verbatim. But what that really means is that if my officer comes upon somebody who is sitting in the public park, say Victoria Park, and it appears they're using an illegal substance, reasonable grounds would be giving that person the authority to go up to him in the park or her in the park, ask them what they're doing, how they're doing. So now we're engaged in that conversation. The act says that they may now ask them to identify themselves. And that's where the regulations come in, because if they refuse to identify themselves, is there an offense for that? Then that set of circumstances may lead them to reasonably think, yes, you're contravening this act or you're contravening this provision. And then they can use their applicable arrest authorities. So the reasonable grounds are, when I see another idea is at night, I'm driving, I'm doing patrol, a car passes me, it's driving either too fast or too slow, it doesn't have its lights on, it's swerving in the lane. The reasonable grounds for that traffic stop would be the person's impaired driving. And they would stop it and then they would continue their investigation. This is no different, only we're using different set of circumstances to develop reasonable grounds.
Well, I guess that's the one thing about the section that I read back to you, and that is that there's a lot of use of the word may.
Yeah, so may and shall are the big thing. So a bit of joke here, but we have three new recruits going off to the police college, and I told them success looks like really understanding the difference between may and shall. And may allows for discretion. Shall basically says there is no discretion. So shalls are a whole lot less in criminal law because we know there's always a set of circumstances that could be handled differently. So for instance, a person who's sitting in the park, apparently using drugs, they may do these things because we do know that marijuana is a legal substance. So they may be using marijuana. So the contravention is the Smoke-Free Ontario's Act and nothing else. So, that's where we're looking for some definition. I want to slow the community down. There's lots of rhetoric out there about the chief should be enforcing the Bill 6. There is nothing yet to enforce. When the laws are made known to us, our staff will be trained and will deliver those laws.
But in the legislation, it talks about if people do not cooperate, then the officer can arrest without a warrant a person who the officer believes on reasonable grounds is guilty of an offense. So how can you arrest someone without a warrant? Isn't that unconstitutional?
Not at all. So there are arrest authorities in a multitude of acts. In fact, in the Highway Traffic Act of Ontario, there are certain offenses that have arrests where there's an arrest authority, and there are others where there is not an arrest authority. The same in the Liquor License Act. But our officers make arrests based on a set of circumstances in that particular act. Trespassing, for instance, this is an easy one. Somebody's trespassing on property. We go onto the property. If the person refuses to leave the property, there's an arrest authority. If the person says, yep, I'm leaving, I'm out of here, and they leave, although they've still committed an offense and still can be charged, the officer can't necessarily arrest them. And then without a warrant is simply a legal document signed by a judge that allows for our officers to arrest based on that piece of paper. In other words, they don't need to create a set of facts and circumstance or reasonable grounds to believe an offense is committed, because somebody's already said they believe that reasonable grounds exist when the warrant was issued by the judge.
So there's a couple of things I'd like to clarify. First of all, let's talk about the public's perception of Bill 6 and the role of the police and this program, the Safer Street program, and what you're trying to achieve. Can you, in simple terms, define for us the difference between these two things?
So we're doing what we've done traditionally. When I hear cries for assistance or cries from help from our community, we are community responsive first. Our community said they want higher attention to this. I heard it from my boss, the Police Services Board. We heard it from the council. We've heard it from membership of the community at large. We've done dynamic patrols. We've done all sorts of things. This is no difference at all. We are continuing to focus on certain things, and we've added a few new layers as new opportunities have created for us. Our MHART's still doing their job. We have increased police presence at 6 o'clock in the morning. And a new element is that, we'll come back to it, but the Trespass Authority Agent Program. Bill 6 is a bill that's come through the Ontario government that has received royal assent. Any of the new charges that are in existence that are listed in all of the things that you read out, I've yet to receive the required, nor has any police service received the required regulations to make those offensive specific to that enforceable. In other words, the Highway Traffic Act is a giant act. At some point a long time ago, it would have received royal assent. And then we had all of the regulations assist, all the set fines, all the short form wordings that allow my officers to lay a charge and get those charges before the courts. That's what we're waiting for. We're waiting for those set of documents, and we'll call them, for lack of something else, that give my officers the tools. These are finable offenses. In other words, there are set fines that can be issued or a summons to take the person to provincial court. Right now, we need the wording and everything else. So that's the difference. We're going to continue to ensure that we are accepting the philosophy as driven by the province of Ontario and what Coburg is asking for. We've got it under a moniker. We have staff deployed to this. We are have concerted efforts at it. We've had individual successes throughout the first few weeks of this program, and we're going to continue that good work, both reactively and proactively, which is the Trespass Authority program.
All right. The second thing that I'd like some clarity on is you know, the stuff that we talked about, this reasonable grounds and may and shall and all this kind of thing. How does this not become harassment?
Again, that would be a question, and it would be for your perspective of it. So our officers are providing a community safety first approach in everything we say and do, be it the proactive stuff or the reactive stuff. We are basically complaint driven. In other words, people are calling us regularly to say so-and-so's doing this or so-and-so's doing that. And our officers on foot patrol are not just stopping everybody. It's not against the law to sit on a park bench and sit there for multiple hours. It is an offense. I shouldn't say that. It is concerning when someone is lying on the sidewalk having a nap. Our officers would obviously approach that person. And if there's nothing else other than sleeping on the sidewalk, we're moving them along because there's no criminal offense for that. It is not harassment when we have in the other end of the spectrum, our officers are required to not only form but articulate the reasonable grounds for what they've done. We've always engaged with our populace. We have conversations every day, and this is no different.
How effective do you see this program in being able to address people's concerns about not feeling safe in Coburg?
As I've said many, many, many times, a lot of time, just increasing the visible presence of police goes a long way. So I know in this bill, and there was a lot of noise out, we're measuring outcomes, and what does a successful outcome look like? I know for some, a successful outcome would be they never see a homeless person or somebody acting out from a mental health disorder ever again in the streets of Coburg. well, that outcome is completely unreasonable. This is something that's happening in every municipality across Ontario. But our increased visible presence, are enforcing the laws that are available to be enforced, and our proactive response to working with the business community will show people that we are making a concerted effort to make their space safer.
You alluded to this earlier in our conversation, but I'd like you to be specific now. But how successful are these early efforts?
Well, we've had three of these interactions with the community most recently, where we're getting like lots of smaller packages of a variety of drugs, bail violence, like in the sense of bail contraventions. As recent as today, another press release went out. So we have increased our visible presence. We are hearing positive feedback from that. So that's a really good thing. We've launched the trespass program. That is a success because of the amount of people that are calling us now to say, hey, sign me up. And again, we are seeing a fair amount of people moving along. And the greatest part about it is our MHART team is engaging with these folks. So some of those people who may or may not have been looking to access service, now that they know the dynamic has changed, they're some are more open to dealing with our team and the team from Northumberland Hills Hospital and figuring out a better tomorrow.
Well, that makes a good transition to what I wanted to talk to you about next, and that is just last week, Northumberland County Council announced it would be changing the services mandate for 310 Division Street. Now, starting on July 4th, the 24-hour warming and cooling hub is shutting down. Will this impact the Coburg police efforts?
100%. So there's no ifs, ands, or buts that the existence of 310 Division has had a significant impact on the residents and the businesses in Coburg. Good, bad, or indifferent, we heard about that loud and clear at the town hall meeting. Having a place to go as a warming room or a cooling room or that overnight place allowed for those people that are homeless to be off of the street. So if that doesn't exist anymore, and there is no sudden new housing development that's affordable that I've recognized around town, that tells me that the people who would normally have used that space are going to be looking for another space. So we needed to be ahead of the game on this. We needed to start to set what community norms and expectations are. It is not acceptable to move into or take over alleyways, bank vestibules, storefronts. That is not acceptable. So we were ahead of that, ahead of the county's decision, and I think it's the first week of July. So we will deal with that. Now, the true impact will not be seen until the winter, where generally we see more people seeking shelter than in the summer, because there's obviously more opportunities for people who are opting to live rough or live in a tent or in a small encampment. It's much easier in the weather like this than it is in the cold weather. So the true impact will not be seen until the winter.
But with these changes to the Safe Streets or Bill 6 coming up, isn't this going to have an impact on the very things that we've been talking about, where your officers may find now that there's more people on the street, therefore they're having more encounters, they're having to make more decisions about what to do with these people? How's that going to make a difference to what you've already planned or what you're planning?
Listen, public safety is a very comprehensive term. We often take public safety and say, hey, it's policing. Well, it's not just policing. Public safety is municipal law enforcement. It's the courts. It's many hands. So we are going to see another year of increased calls for service. Most recently at the annual report presentation to the board, I indicated once more, again, we have a 30% increase in calls for service. Unless there is another warming room situated somewhere else other than Coburg, we can anticipate our calls for service to remain high.
I'll come back to that in just a second. I want to move on to the trespass authority agent program, because we've talked about trespassing a number of times, and I think we should explain what exactly this is. Would you mind telling us what is this program?
Yeah. So basically what happens is when our officers arrive at a private place, be it a business or a home, we would need that homeowner or that business owner to act as their own authority to say, hey, I don't want so-and-so here, what they're doing here, I don't want them here anymore. And oftentimes what happens is we get what we call authority, agent authority, which means the homeowner or the business owner says that the Coburg police can act as if they own the property and remove people under the Trespass the Property Act. So what we did is formalize that, updated our form, all of the information's on our website, and we're encouraging businesses or homeowners who want to work with us and allow for us to act on their behalf when they're not in place, solely around the Trespass the Property Act. So this is generally a business where people are setting up after hours, they're maybe sitting in the back parking lots of their business, or they're on the front steps or whatever. When our officers go there, they don't need to worry about whether or not the business owner is wanting the person to remove. We can just assume that the person is to be removed. So that the Trespass Authority Agent Program empowers our officers to enforce the Trespass to Property Act, not everything else in relation to their business, just the trespassing part of it.
It seems like it's aimed mostly at businesses and landlords. Does this impact residential homes as well?
Not as much, because generally in your house, if somebody starts to move into your driveway, it's easy to say, hey, can you get off my driveway kind of thing. But when you get into apartment buildings where you have large parking lots, or businesses where you have vestibules or backspaces behind businesses, and the business is closed, say, after 5 p.m., the people don't know that the problems occurred until they show up to work the next morning and there's garbage left behind or whatever the circumstance is. So really, this is the intent. But if there was that multi-unit dweller residential dwelling, this might be applicable.
How many cases would you say your officers face this problem?
Well, since we've launched the program, they did a really good job in their launch downtown. And I can tell you that there doesn't a day go by, because on our database that we're adding all of these, there's not a day go by that I don't see any new business who signed up for this. So I think it's had a pretty tremendous effort. And it's really good for our officers to know that when they're engaging with people, they can already say, hey, listen, the store owner doesn't want you here, off you go. And it ends the argument right then and there. And then we move the people along, hopefully, where we're not just constantly chasing people around, but we're actually moving them to something different.
Because we've talked about this before, and one of the reasons that you were a little reticent to move people was that they just move from one place to another, and then you're going back and having to move the same person from in front of another apartment or another business. How does this make a difference?
Yeah. So again, we're not harassing somebody. When someone is committing an offense, be it provincial or criminal, the obligation is upon our membership to ensure that all people feel that the police are doing their job in relation to them. So when we get there, yes, the chronic displacement is a problem. It is definitely an issue. But generally, we're dealing with a very small percentage of population. Generally, again, that's where our MHART is really important, because they're saying, okay, now we're bumping into this person all of the time. Let's see what we can do about resources. For the other part of the people that may have criminal issues or criminal behavior in that space, we're able to exercise the bail compliance program and or probation control. So what we're finding is those people who are on probation or on bail and trespassing, we're putting them back before the courts. Those people who are just moving from one place to the other, if it's purely a mental health issue, our MHART team is trying to get them connected to resources. And we have seen a great partnership with them. And we have been seeing a few differences made. I could give you the names, but it's not fair to them. And their names should be protected. But I can think of two people who are chronically defined as a drug user laying on the street, when in fact there was absolutely no drug use. The person just had a significant mental health issue, and our team was able to move them along. And by that, I mean able to get them into assistance better, which for whatever reason wasn't happening prior to their engagement.
Because I guess that's where the fine line really comes in. You know, I use the word harassment, and I appreciate your response. But at the same time, if people aren't moving along, or they're not getting the opportunity to access services, or, you know, it doesn't happen every time, then, you know, what chance do they have in terms of you know, not feeling that they're just trying to get by under a set of circumstances that we just talked about earlier, where services are being taken away and it's getting harder and harder and there's nowhere really for them to go.
Everybody needs to understand their role in public safety. My role is law enforcement. That's what we do. Our team does it well. Obviously, there's all sorts of reasons to consider it. But at the end of the day, that business owner, that apartment caretaker should know that they are free from coming to work and having to step over people to pick up garbage, clean up stuff, or ask people to leave their businesses because they're causing grief at the front of the store. They are equally entitled to that right and privilege. So it's a fine line that we dance here. But at the end of the day, our job is to ensure public safety expectations are met.
The mayor released a letter dated June 26th saying he demanded that the Coburg police make, and I'm quoting here, appropriate arrests of anyone, end quote, using drugs in public or trespassing as stated in Bill 6, be arrested. How do you respond to that request?
There's a few things I could say about that. I'll just lead with very clearly that my boss, everybody has one, my boss is the Police Services Board that the mayor is not a member of. The mayor nor the board can direct the chief of police under the act to any specific task. In this case, he could ask that. We have a focused attention on certain things, but he is not in his position to direct a chief of police. And I see this as a clear direction. And it is unfounded in law. We are already doing everything that we've talked about. We are meeting the needs of the community in the sense that we've increased our patrols in this particular area. There are laws in place that allow me to do certain things. And as I've said many times, and His Worship is well aware of this, there are no regulations written and released yet by the Solicitor General's office or the Ministry of Attorney General to allow us to actually lay charges under the Safe Streets Act. We will do what we do well, which is engage people, educate people, enforce laws that are infractions. We will continue to do that. And I don't take operational direction from the chief business development officer, nor the chair of the Police Services Board, nor the mayor. The mayor obviously made a presentation at our board meeting back in May, and the same answer was given to him at that time. So we will continue to move forward in a positive space. We'll continue to ensure that the laws that are currently in place are enforced when applicable.
The mayor also said in the letter, though, and I'm quoting here again, I believe we should make Coburg as hostile a place as possible to criminals all day, every day, end quote. How do you feel about this?
I would have chosen different language. At the end of the day, we will hold people accountable for what they have done or not done, in a sense. We will ensure that road safety, and we'll hold people accountable for following the rules of the road. We will help people who need assistance. We will continue to serve victims of crime. I think the verbiage used in this could be misunderstood by a lot of people. My officers treat everybody with respect. That's the expectation. And I do try each and every day, although some will judge us differently. We try to be empathetic in all circumstances, recognizing that empathy's definition is different from person to person.
There are reports in other media that the mayor was asking citizens to make Coburg hostile to criminals. While I do not see that direct in the letter, how do you feel about residents taking actions such as this?
I've been in Coburg since 2014, and I'm proud of this town and the way the town has been so engaged in many different ways about, like, the level of community engagement here is substantive. We have a group of people who are interested in a neighborhood watch program. That's great. We have a great volunteer program. We have great turnout at our town hall meetings. I'm very accessible to people when they want to talk about stuff. We encourage people to report crime because we can't really paint a clear picture for people if people don't report crime. And that's clearly where it stands. it would be reckless of me as chief. We do not, we are not looking for a citizenry that is inferring their understanding of a particular act and arresting people or doing anything like that. The citizens' powers of arrest are very, very narrow. And we could find citizenry on the wrong end of police investigation. So again, I really encourage engagement. I really encourage conversation. I really encourage telling us what's going on and report crimes and let our officers who are highly trained take care of the enforcement.
The letter indicated that the mayor had this conversation with you at a private breakfast meeting. How do you feel about having a private breakfast meeting made public?
Again, it's in a restaurant, so how private is it? Very clearly, I lead with, always have led with ideas where we want to meet with anybody and everybody. And the mayor doesn't sit on our police services board. He does lead in a very big space in this particular area around the ECE bylaw and a few different issues. So at the end of the day, I'm not too worried about it. It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate how this is kind of spun, but at the end of the day, we will continue to focus on the great work of our team. The outcomes of that meeting where he's indicating we're going to start arresting everybody for an act that we can't use. We're just going to continue to do the great work we're doing with the authorities that we have in front of us. And always, I give my officers the discretion that they deserve when they're doing, because I'm not out there at 3 o'clock in the morning. So we've painted a picture and our officers understand the picture and they're delivering positive outcomes.
Do you have sufficient resources, both in terms of officers and whatever else is needed to meet the requirements of Bill 6 and the programs we have talked about today?
No. So this kind of directed patrol, this takes time. So we're doing this now. Fortunately, we have some reorganization right now. So I have an officer that I'm going to be able to assign to it. But these are extra duties. The officers are working. And at sometimes we're not going to be able to fulfill every shift that we've committed to under this program. But our officers on regular patrol 24/7 will pick up the paces where we can. So, and again, we have to be really clear about this. What a lot of these things we're asking our officers to do are not typically core functions of police officers when we're talking about some of the work we're doing. So we're going to rely heavily on our partners and we're going to focus clearly on where we have success. The municipal law enforcement bylaw do a tremendous job at helping us around the pop-ups of encampments and different things. So we're going to continue to partner with everybody, share the load, and see if we can't make a positive difference.
The town and the police have signed a new memorandum of understanding outlining the use of funds generated by the business operation or the criminal check service. These changes will have an impact on your budget. Will the requirements outlined in the program that you have launched and the demands of Bill 6 have an impact on property tax under this new agreement?
Yeah, lots to unpack there. That's a great question. So let's be really clear. A budget estimate is outside of the business unit and it's outside of a particular program. The board will begin very soon as they've just passed a motion where by citizenry will be joining the finance committee. When I could be mistaken, but I think it's the first in Ontario, but it doesn't matter. We're going to have citizenry join us and they're going to have a really good eye-opening experience as to how restrictive a police estimate really is. And we're going to present what we need to ensure that we're meeting the mandate of the town, the expectations of the town, and the expectations of the board. So I will put that in the hands of the board's finance committee as we move forward. The business center, we have a very unique opportunity here, and we've continually grown that business since 2012, where there were a set MOU that was due to be renewed. What we've done is, as we've done their due diligence to try to keep a police budget under certain numbers that may or may not have been arbitrary, there became an over-reliance on that money that caused a risk-adverse, which we should have risk-adverse finance folks in municipal politics, municipal affairs, to have a little bit of concern. So We started meeting on how to restructure the MOU, and I'm really proud of the great work that team did. It wasn't I listened to that on Zoom there, and the meetings were robust. There's lots of great conversation, but again, so proud of the team here at Coburg. By this team, I mean everybody I get to work with, because we got to work. The CAO is just a tremendous champion for this kind of stuff, and it's not an immediate thing. I know there's misinformation out there again that we were going to be stripping all of that money out at once. Well, that's just not true, and how that even was communicated, I'll never know. But I can tell you that very clearly, the finance committee will consider a lessening of reduction on the corporate services business unit that is palatable to council, because this will be going back to council, obviously our estimate for approval. So there's lots of opportunities for checks and balance here.
But is it going to have an impact on the property tax bill?
I don't know what the municipality's budget is going to look like, and the board hasn't set an estimate yet, so I don't know.
But you do need resources. Did I hear that message?
Depends what the board sees, what our strategic objectives are, and if we need to have more resources, the board's going to have to consider what we need, what we have, and what we can actually reasonably do. So those discussions haven't even begun yet, so it would be inappropriate for me to even implicate what the tax overall tax increase would be.
But that I did hear you say, though, that you are lacking resources to implement the programs we've been talking about today.
Or the board could decide to continue to operate it as extra duties. So that could be a different way to staff it budget-wise.
I wouldn't want to count the number of times I have interviewed you and you have said, we cannot arrest our way out of these problems. Yet, at least on the surface, this seems to be exactly what the Coburg police are trying to do. What happened?
Nothing. We're not arresting ourselves out of homelessness. Homelessness will always exist. We're not arresting ourselves out of poverty. Poverty is always going to exist. We're not going to arrest ourselves out of addictions. Addictions are going to be here. What we are doing is, as the laws have changed, as conditions have changed by other interested parties, be it the federal government, the provincial government, we are those agents, and our officers are expected provincially and locally to enforce the laws as they change. And we're going to continue to do that. But at the end of the day, our proactive stuff continues to work with our HEART program, our MHEART program, to work with people. It's not always an arrest. But when we have the rampant amount of trespassing and public social disorder, we will manage those concerns. And if we can arrest ourselves out of those elements of social disorder, success been had. But at the end of the day, there's always going to be somebody who's going to be homeless, who's going to be in that dire strait. There's going to be somebody who's going to be suffering a mental health crisis. Those aren't for us to solve, but those are ours to work collaboratively with, and we'll continue to do that.
Chief, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
No problem, Robert. Thank you very much.
That was Coburg Police Chief Paul Van de Graaff. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at ConsiderThisNorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening, and stay tuned for more from Consider This.